You know, you called me a scared little boy.
I called you a lot of things.
You did. You're wrong, though. You see, I know something children don't.
What's that?
But no one bad is ever truly bad. And no one good is ever truly good.
Welcome to What the Fiction and our show, High Tea, Low Key. I'm Variant Marie Claire, and this is...
Variant Robin, as always.
Yes. So we are covering the show Loki, and today is episode 2, The Variant. And we do something a little bit differently than, I guess, other streaming shows. We're actually having tea and Loki. Hence the name. Today, do you have the tea title? I wrote it down on your piece of paper, so you've got it.
Mercurial tea.
Mercurial, yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce things.
It's fine.
I may be a superior variant, but I'm just bad at pronouncing things.
It's fine, yeah.
Mercurial tea. Green and playful.
Yep.
You know, like us.
Yeah.
And Loki. Pomegranate, green, ginseng, green, pineapple, and sprinkles are like inside. It's cool.
Yep.
I've seen the mix. It's a treat. Thanks to Fangirling Only for, you know,
all the flavors,
the tea, sending it to us, being awesome,
being our tea sommelier, and helping out generally with the show. Thank you again. And 5% goes to Amnesty International. The link is in the liner notes if you
stole
want to check it out. Sorry.
You
sorry.
Stole it. You, sorry. You stole, I will do it again. I will do it again.
Okay, next time, Gadget. You don't need your notes?
Oh,
the
rest I do.
Of the thing? Okay. All right. Let's get our let's get our tea going. So
yeah.
Different teapot today because there's a little bit of caffeine and we both need to sleep tonight. But I wanted to show out our teas. I put it on Instagram and Twitter, but mine actually is fancy as F, spelled out actually the full word. And
mine
yours
is, I could poison you.
Yes, we have fancy teacups that swear at us.
We always do. We always do.
Yeah.
All right. So, do not spill it on me.
No, I will not spill it on you.
Okay. So I'm going to have some sugar.
Yes, you can have sugar. I promise not to look at how much you put in there.
Turn your head.
Turn my head away. And for snacks today, because we are Canadian, we're going to have butter tarts. And Robin, you said you don't remember ever eating butter tarts or not liking them.
I don't really know my opinion on butter tarts. I will attempt to like them. If I don't, you will know.
They're very Canadian. Hi, Susan. Hi, Megan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, Luminous Lily. Hello, everyone in the chat. Thank you for joining us as always. I hope you have your tea or beverage of choice along with you.
Or if not, that's fine.
Also fine. So it's good if you stir it too.
Maybe what do you think I was going to do?
I don't know. Be a teenager on there. All right. So let's start out with just pointing out our tea. This is the outside of it. So if you're looking for it, you, of course, link again in the liner notes. If you want to order any of the teas, we thought it would be really fun to do something for charity. So we created these teas with Loki in mind. And they've been a lot of fun for so far. The first one was super good. It was called Variant.
Oh, funny. It was so good.
So I wonder if next time we'll get a very mercurial Loki. Maybe.
I have horror. So I'm the one who picks the teas out of the like the six that we have, like the options.
Oh, we should try them and comment on the tea first.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably.
Okay. I think the sprinkles made it sweeter because
it tastes like that's hard to pin down, but yeah, it tastes like a lot of the stuff I'm used to drinking. So
you haven't really had a lot of green teas, so.
No, but it tastes like fruity, so.
Yeah, that's the pineapple probably and the pomegranate flavor in the tea. It's pretty good.
I But since I'm the one who picks out the teas, I was like, you know what would be good? We'll pick variant for the first one. And then I ended up attempting to change my mind halfway through this episode. I'm not going to tell you which tea it was, but...
you had thoughts on why it should have been a different tea, but all of them are available if you want to pick them up.
you will have a great tea time.
A great tea time.
You can have scones. You can have butter tarts.
Yeah. You could have little mini sandwiches. Maybe we'll do that next time.
Ooh, I'll make sandwiches.
Like cucumber sandwiches or something.
That'd be fun. Yeah. And then we just don't do that because we revealed it already and we don't want to spoil the surprise.
So this episode was called The Variant. How did you feel overall about this episode?
Oh, it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot to unpack because I was like 17 minutes in and I was like, the episode should end. There's so much lore. What?
Yeah, there was a lot that they were saying. And what I found about this episode was that there's a lot of between the lines, between what people were saying, you could read into it. And to me, that's always super enjoyable.
Like, I'm not someone who's super big into, like, theorizing a whole ton, like, on the first watch. So I had to watch it a second time in order to theorize. So,
absolutely.
Second time in. All right.
So this episode for me especially was the music. Natalie Holt, who is the composer of the score, just slayed it. She's using theremin throughout the score, which is really interesting because just two lines down from the top there, Clara Rockmore actually in the scene with Ravona Renslayer's office, you can actually hear this track. I linked to it. It's theremin, and we'll go into that. I have theories about why so much theremin is being used. We also got a play of I Need a Hero, which I think had been used 4 times in the last week in pop culture references, including a He-Man trailer and a trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, a video game. Like, it's been used all over the place this week. Good on Bonnie Tyler to really, like, absolutely slay getting all of those royalties this week. And then the librarian is listening to Bach's Orchestral Suite number 3 in D major, which is used in the movie 7, which we knew was going to influence this show. So, yeah, there was a lot of that going on. But the music has been wonderful. Just on a completely... I don't know, meme note. I saw this one going around. Just Calvin and Hobbes is always a mood. And I just changed it a little bit to say, you are all lesser Lokis. Yeah, let's put it to a vote. Absolutely. The themes, it seems like the comic run that this show seems to be pulling from the most is Agents of Asgard, which has multiple Lokis in it, of course. And one of the things that kind of came out of that was that it all traces back to Loki figuring out that he is either trying to win acceptance of his family or trying to rule, to have purpose. And he has to try to navigate, like, the desire for outside, I guess, acceptance and wanting to be loved or rule over others and really focus that inwards. And I really would love to see, like, where this goes and if it's following the Agents of Asgard run more and more, especially if they end up bringing in Verity. That would be amazing.
Dude, these themes, man.
Yeah. He cares, but he doesn't want anybody to know. He only cries in his room at night.
He's the kind of guy where it's like, I will never let you know that I care, but I care so much that I would, like, destroy the entire universe for you.
Yeah, I have a theory on one particular thing, how he came up with his theory. He is his own worst enemy. Who is Loki truly? This is a question that is posed in the subtext of the show, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Free will versus determinism, part 2. We talked a lot about that last episode. I had a slide on it.
You had a rant?
But it went on and on this episode, as well as chaos versus order, good versus bad, just kind of really posing all of these philosophical questions, which, I don't know, is my jam. I love it. it makes me so happy when a show asks more of the audience than necessarily just, hey, punch, hit, kick. Yeah, it's good. So we start out into the show, and it starts out in Ren Faire land. You've never been to a Ren Faire.
A Renaissance Faire?
Yeah. But you know what they are.
No, I know what they are, though.
Yeah, yeah. I have a bunch of friends who, like, go every single year, and I was heavily involved in the SCA, which is the Society for Creative Anachronism. Completely different vibe. I totally want to go to a Ren Faire, but this was really, really fascinating. And then also, like, the woman being like, some of us need this. Like, we need to be here. This is our escapism.
That really felt like a, like... No one asked about your trauma, lady. Please stop. Please stop just freely sharing that.
I identified with her. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Agatha. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, she had to. She looked it up. Yeah, you looked it up. Hey, you're like, wait a second. No, it's not wrong. Agatha. Too much. Too much.
It was not Agatha all along.
Yeah. Or what do you think of the I Need a Hero? And we had...
Okay. So I told my mom it was in Footloose, and then she said it wasn't, and then I was right.
Yes, you were right. It is in Footloose. And of course, you also pointed out the Shrek 2 connection as well, which I knew Shrek 2.
Because Shrek is the clearly superior
musical. I know Bonnie Tyler's discography, so I didn't think it was... On Footloose, but it is on Footloose. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why I know that. I haven't seen Footloose.
Okay. So this is such a weird scene for me personally. I love it. It's weird in a good way. We have Hunter C20 who ends up getting taken over by the green touch and her eyes go all green. And then she ends up fighting the TVA. And how it's posed... If you just kind of look at the scene without sort of any context, is that the TVA is bad, and whoever is controlling C20 is good, right? That's, she's the hero who is fighting the bad guys. That is how the moment is framed.
That it.
So it makes me question a lot of things, and there's things later on in the episode that also make me question whether the TVA is good. We get bad guy vibes occasionally from them anyways, even though all of the people within the TVA seem to have, like, decent goodness about them. What, are you having a moment?
Sorry, I just really want to talk about the TVA's ethical business practices.
Okay, we'll get there. We have more TVA. It's just really, really interesting, like, because typically I need a hero, and like Ben Solo running into Exegol, how people have made that video, the hero of the story is the one that's fighting or the one that's running or the one that's active. C20 being taken over seems like a hero. It's weird.
I mean... I feel like there is a decent amount of them building to the TVA being the bad guys.
Yeah.
Because, listen, if you're going to have, like, a group of people with questionable business practices, like, running this, and it's ran by three green lizards who make all of the decisions, I don't think you could be considered the good guys.
Yeah, yeah. Later on, I would say that the variant is not framed in a good way, but this particular moment makes you question things as far as what is happening, even though the variant ends up killing them and stabbing them, much like a Loki would.
Sus.
Yeah. we get an understanding this is a tempad. I didn't catch that last episode, so I wanted to point it out. There's a bunch of stuff about this that I love this scene so much. So the variant... has the pad, which all the timekeepers or all the hunters or agents have. It has the time door. It has a directory, maybe where you go with the time door. I'm not sure. It has a settings button, and it has Miss Minutes. And that to me is, like, super interesting that this person has had access to Miss Minutes that seems to have all of the informational know-it-allness about the TVA. Miss Minutes has a whole lot going on, and I'm not sure where she's going yet, but we can talk about that.
Isn't the temp pad, what, didn't they steal the temp pad?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the temp pad, but, like, it was something that Mobius talked about later, that he's like, oh, make sure you've got the temp pad or whatever. So I just, that's what
it
that is.
It is important because it's like this, like, it's basically a phone, guys. It's basically a phone.
No, it's like a teleporter slash.
It's their work phone.
Okay. I don't know that they can communicate with people. Maybe.
You can program phones.
So the variant opens up a time door and drags C20 through, but there's this moment, instead of like just dragging C20 through, the variant stops and looks back towards the audience and looks at the layout of the bodies and what they have left behind. Ah, what is going on with this show? Interesting.
The whole, like, this scene and the one where they return to the Renaissance Fair, I don't like it. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfy.
Oh, it's supposed to be a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah. So we get back to Loki after the credits roll, which I appreciated that there was actually credits this go around.
Well, you always start the first episode without any credits.
No, they both had credits, but I was talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, actually, specifically. Oh. It didn't have kind of like an intro.
The
it
show
kinda,
I didn't see.
It kind of went into it. Yeah. And, okay, let's talk about Nexuses. So back when we did WandaVision, I was like, hey, that Nexus box has Celtic knotwork. Like, literally, I have, like, Celtic knotwork on this, like, little, you know, tea towel that we're having tea on. I was like, that's really interesting that Nexus box that's in that commercial for WandaVision, where they're talking about that this is a Nexus point of all realities. And so, you know, this is your own personal Nexus. Like, so that's what Wanda was creating, was a Nexus, which we know is something that breaks off from the time stream, creates its own reality, creates its own thing, right? And if it redlines, the TVA can no longer reset it. It looks like maybe Wanda could, because she's super powerful. So that's really interesting, too. Just lots of knowledge about what's happening in the general MCU universe right now, which is so good. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if this Nexus box will help tie into anything in the future in Loki. And it did. Yay. Let's talk about Miss Minutes. Are you a recording or are you alive?
I have a little bit.
All right, let's hear your theory.
So my theory. So we all know how the TVA is like it works in time. Basically, big time branding. And so, like, Miss Minutes, my theory is that Miss Minutes is in the future being recorded and then played back. So a little bit like how streaming works if you're, like, because there's, like, a delay. There's a delay. Mm. And so she's both a recording and alive at the same time.
Hmm. That's cool.
Miss Minutes also is probably, like, an icon and not, like, you know, like a physical clock being. This isn't Disney.
Well, what I loved is they went into a little bit of the behind the scenes of creating her, and they actually had kind of a lamp-like thing covered in, like, you know, green screen or whatever to get her out. But they had her, and then she almost had like a little bit of a face that they could talk to. So she was there, because when she was on the desk, she was physically on the desk, and then they animated over that. So at least they had people who could, like, when they're trying to point their voices or direct their acting in that direction, they know where to look, right? Mm-hmm. And then I love that she can kind of jump in and out of technology. I do think that there is going to be a connection with the variants. I just think that showing her on the temp pad, to me, that's they're laying breadcrumbs, and they're very good at picking them up and placing them logically where they need to be in the future story, even in an episode from last episode to this one.
Dude, the creators of Loki. I applaud them. Like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy. And we're getting Loki content.
Yeah, shout out to them for, like, Ian in the chat said Roger Rabbiting it. And, yeah, it is a lot of that. And it's beautiful what they've done with the animation, et cetera. All right, so what do you think of the butter tart?
It's good. Yeah, I'd eat it.
Yeah?
I'm going to continue eating it.
Yeah. It's basically pure sugar. It's crazy. It's a Canadian treat.
Welcome to Canada, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Canada. All right. And then Loki gets a jacket. I love it. He's so cute with his little popped collar.
He is styled.
Ah, I love it. I love that also, like, can't escape the branding that they've decided to give him, which is going to be part of his journey as well. And then we get introduced to, well, this variant is a Loki. So they have a name for these types. And Loki has so many. It's like at least 6,900 Lokis that are running around or have been pruned, have been reset.
It's really just a tribute to the fact that they know Loki's a troublemaker.
Yeah. And
he breaks the canon so often that they just have to, like, he's a bonsai tree, guys.
He's a bonsai tree.
You gotta trim him consistently.
Yeah, I think it's what is really, I think, important to point out is that there's this constant push for the TVA to create an order, a direction. Everything is kind of locked in place, and Loki is continuously not being that thing that will be locked in place, shape-shifting, changing, ever-changing. Mercurial in nature.
Gender, fluid.
Yes.
Sex, fluid.
Yeah.
Shape, fluid.
Exactly.
Interests, mischief.
Mischief. Trouble. Yeah. I did like that we kind of got to see a Hulk Loki. That was cool. And you liked the, which one?
I liked all of them, especially Frost Giant Loki. That one. I liked that one a lot. And I also like Runner Loki. I couldn't, like, exactly see what that was, but it looks cool. Yeah.
He looks like he just won a marathon or something, or he's holding, like, a giant bowl. Maybe he was making cookies and then running a marathon. These things can happen.
And or both.
And or both. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I love this because of the story about when they were getting ready to start, producing the show. Tom Hiddleston, who, of course, plays Loki, had all of the writing room and all of the production staff sit down, and he gave a four-hour seminar on Loki. He is the biggest Loki stan. So, like, Tom Hiddleston kind of teaching the TVA about Loki and, like, being a Loki is perfect.
I'm coming for Tom's crown as the number one Loki stan.
I don't think that you can beat him.
I know, but I want to try.
There are those that are probably out in the chat or on Twitter that are number one Loki stans, but
I will fight
you. Try.
I will fight you. I will fight you.
Well, I'm the superior Loki stan. Yeah, okay.
Oh my god, the variant Loki memes. There's so many options.
There is so many options. Yeah. Like, back to what I was trying to say last episode, successfully or not successfully. These different Lokis are definitely fitting into different archetypes from a Jungian psychology perspective, as well as this particular Loki is still trying to be a ruler Loki, and Mobius sees through that, you know, what he is trying to do. Like, yeah, an audience with the timekeepers is on the table. Like, okay, yeah, we get it. We're gonna try to kill the timekeepers or get them under your thumb. And,
okay,
yeah.
So, the whole episode, Mobius really behaves like he knows who Loki is. And to some extent, he knows Loki. But, like, Loki isn't this, like, thing you put in a box. He's always outside the box.
Nobody puts Loki in a corner.
No one. And he's always moving and he's always changing. And that's reflected in him shape-shifting and everything else. But, like, Mobius, you really think that he's just gonna fit to your expectations? No, he will spite you by being different.
Yeah. And I think that that's like...
I'm so excited for the moment where Mobius is like proven wrong, because I love those moments where it's like...
I mean, he was kind of proven wrong this episode. He trusted him and then he was betrayed. Oh, curse your sudden and inevitable betrayal. At least Loki went off on his own when he promised he wouldn't. Aha, I lied. You know, God of mischief.
Well, I mean,
Yeah. I think Mobius has faith in Loki to want to change his path, want to be a different person. And that, to me, is part of the story that I love of this so far. Yes. Making a masks reference, Mobius is trying to shift his labels. Exactly. He's trying to make him probably more heroic, you know, less of a danger to society, things like that.
You think.
Yeah, exactly. And then we go back to the Ren Fair and we get the story of Wolf's ears and Wolf's teeth and how everything is gone awry. And don't worry, this Loki is super smart and it's a scheme and I can see it. And don't worry, I will catch this Loki for you. Everything will be good. And then you will give me the keys to your kingdom.
I don't have eyes. I cannot see.
What's wrong?
I don't like this scene because it's classic Loki manipulation and I do not see it.
But it's, I mean, it is classic and everybody sees it, including you.
I do not see it.
Okay, you don't see it. Yeah. But, like, I mean, it's shenanigans, you know?
We signed up for wacky hijinks, and we got wacky hijinks.
What's really fascinating is, yeah, he's lying. Yes, he's trying to manipulate. But also, he's telling the truth. He definitely sees something, right? We see that with the conversation later with the variant. They kind of have this like, yes, I did see what you did there. I knew you were trying to do something, but I guess you didn't want to work with me. Like, they have a mutual understanding that was like almost on the edge of the conversation, which was really, really cool. And then also later on, Loki is proven right, which sucks when Loki's lying to everybody and trying to manipulate the situation, but he's using the truth to do it. That's the worst.
He's right a lot of the time, though, because he's an analyst.
He's very, very smart. Like, that's part of his problem.
The people who underestimate him.
For such a smart guy, you sure do some dumb things. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Also, like, at some point we need to talk about how afraid Loki is of death. Because,
yes,
dude, he is so scared.
He's scared of death, yes.
Like, death is, like, the one thing that he hates above all else.
That's always why I think they associate him with cats, because he kind of has nine lives, and he also is, like, one of those people that is reborn consistently,
too. He didn't use up all of his lives, and why is he dead in canon?
He's not dead. See, he's back. Okay, let's talk about Ravona Renslayer's office. We have the three timekeepers behind her desk. She is a judge. She is their representative. Nobody else knows the timekeepers. Inside of the office, we hear the swan, which is Clara Rockmore's. I highly recommend listening to it. Again, link in the liner notes. The theremin, which is a very haunting musical instrument. And I don't know if you know this, but when you play the theremin, you don't actually touch anything. So there's two antennae, and you basically move your fingers like through the space in front of the theremin. So like, go and watch some videos of it. It's wacky as all hell. You know, many, many people love playing the theremin, and it has this like very creepy violin sound. And so it's kind of like you do this.
Like that?
Like this. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
When you play the theremin, it looks like you're casting a magic spell.
Suspicious.
Right? And there is theremin in the score at certain places. I haven't done the, like, listening to when it shows up yet, but it is fascinating that in so many ways the theremin is like a magical thing. Like, because you don't touch anything. It's like you're doing this. To play it.
I just, I want like an in-canon Agatha and Loki team up.
I mean, that would be wonderful. I need all of the magic users to be like, team magic. Maybe that's what Multiverse of Magic is going to be all about. That
it's
would
madness.
Be madness. Multiverse of Magic. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Thurman is also used in like the Ghostbusters soundtrack and stuff like that. It's very creepy, haunting. Oh, yeah. Apparently, they have one at the National Music Center if you want to try it here.
We'll try.
We'll try. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, we get the Mobius moments inside of the office. Their conversation about, you know, another agent that you appreciate more. Kyle has a whole theory. I'll shout it out to him about Mobius actually being a Mobius strip. And so the agent that she liked previously was him, but maybe from the future. And so he knew more. And so he doesn't remember doing all the rings, stuff like that. So because time works differently in the TVA,
Mobius
remember?
Also clearly has some kind of like validation stuff because he's like, clearly you like them more, but okay.
Yeah. I also have a theory that the time in the TVA is running backwards. So from the end of time to creation, that's why it's a sacred timeline. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it would get really boring when all they have to do is deal with the like
inevitabilities of the past.
Well, deal with all of the atoms that are just floating around.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, that's what he said. That's what Mobius said. We'll just have a peaceful end to all of this once everything is sorted out. Yeah.
The end is the beginning. It's a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. And then, the rings themselves kind of, reminded me of concentric circles and things like
He's
that. And how a ring has no end. There's lots of really cool, subtle things going on in this show. And there's too much to point out, even in, like, a deep dive show. But, you know, if you notice cool things, feel free to at me on Twitter or, of course, post a comment and say, hey, this is the thing that I noticed. And I think
read all of the chat, so if you want to.
Yeah, as also, I don't think theorizing or speculating is ever bad because it's just us like having fun with what is being produced. And so if we're wrong, it's really okay. Speculate away. Enjoy yourself. That's always my
big thing is the thing. TVA's questionable business practices. All we know, they could be the best business ever.
Yeah, exactly. I really love this moment too, which is like, you know, Loki is an evil lying scourge. That's the role he plays in the sacred timeline. Sometimes you get tired of playing the same part. And that's where I feel like Mobius especially has a lot of faith in Loki. And faith is not necessarily something that you can prove will happen or not. And I love that. So,
Mom, you're a Star Wars podcaster. All you need to say is hope.
Yes. Mobius has hope. Yes.
Shouldn't say faith. Hope is the only way.
Okay. So let's talk about some. How are the old timekeepers? Are they alive? Are they dead? Is Ravonna Renslayer lying to us? She seems to have communication with them, so she could be a bad guy. Maybe they're all just non-existent. There definitely seems to be something weird about what's going on with them.
Like, my first thought whenever I saw anything related to the timekeepers, it was, those are not the timekeepers. Mm-hmm. These are, like, the figureheads. There's just a boardroom of old space people who live for a long time and then pass it down onto their kids to continue the work. It's like a business. This is a business. The TVA is a business.
It's a business. What if it's just a baby in a room instead of old people?
It could be.
Yeah? You think so? Yeah, I don't know. It definitely feels like the timekeepers are not actually there. They've stopped caring, or they're not actually working on the end of all things, or people like Mobius don't know everything that's going on. So It to me, I think there's going to be some sort of reveal as far as what the TVA is actually up to, what it all it is, and how the world is going to, well, the universe is going to collapse into a million realities. Okay, let's talk about...
Go off. I got a butter tart and I will be FDR. Listening.
As you know, many U.S. people, former president of the United States. Interestingly enough, he actually founded the Tennessee Valley Association, which is also called the TVA. And when Loki came out, they tweeted about it. They tweeted, "Time works differently in the TVA." Like, just as a plug. Also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They could literally just be talking about time zones. You have no idea these.
This is an inside joke too.
Denied.
TVA related things.
TVA and then, business.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went back in time to try and save FDR, who helped create S.H.I.E.L.D. Unfortunately, they ended up having to save the creator of Hydra in the modern era after World War II. And not FDR, but their original intention was to save FDR. And so I'm connecting those dots. It's just really a lot of interesting things. And maybe FDR High School is just where one of the writers in the writing room went to high school. And they were like, I want to put my high school in here. But they focus on the pen. Why focus on the pen? It might mean something. It might not. It could just be an inside joke that we just don't get. But the deeper you dig with this one, it's really weird. So that's fun. Hello, Marquise Marriott in Atlanta. You have a lovely lobby / elevator center of your building. It's used for a lot of stuff. I like that they expanded it kind of with graphical effects and everything like that. But they use the elevator. Tons of people have pointed it out. If you go to Dragon Con and you stay there, you're like, oh, hey, that's the elevator. Everybody loves it. Yeah. Yeah. So cool stuff. We get Loki reading about the destruction of Asgard happening, that there was no variances that occurred there. And of course, casualties and all of that. And we get this moment, this very touching moment where he almost cries. He almost sheds a single tear.
Baby boy sad.
Mm-hmm.
His home.
No.
And then he doesn't.
And then he doesn't. No.
Because he's a man.
Because, not really. He realizes something. And this is
smart.
If I was in his brain, what I would be like, it's like, hey, I can stop this feeling of feeling sad, and I can go and try and stop this. And then he realizes the causality of the TVA. And realizes no matter what he does, Ragnarok will happen. It was always foretold Surtur was always going to destroy Asgard. That was always foretold in all of their legends. And so he realizes that no matter what he did, he could not stop the destruction of Asgard. And so no matter what any other Loki does, they could not stop the destruction of Asgard. So apocalypses are where this Loki will be hiding. I think that's how his brain went through all of these things, because I think he thought about trying to change the outcome here. Would you like some more tea?
Oh, yes. Obviously, he was totally... It was over 9,000. That's so good.
It's like, I had more people in my small town growing up than there were citizens of Asgard.
That just seems unrealistic. Although, to be fair, there has been, like, many...
It's how many people died, not necessarily how many people... Well, because, like, the rest of the population fit into a small ship. Yeah.
So maybe, like, 10,000?
Maybe. Like 1,000 people were on the ship. I mean, I don't know. It was a pretty big ship.
That seems realistic. I mean,
I don't know if that
many
people.
It was Thanos, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Less than 10,000. Yeah. You know, and he's like, the secret is in the apocalypses. I just love this like reveal, and it's so smart.
It's so cool.
How it came together.
I was like, I literally was sat there watching it on my computer, and I was like, yes, Yes, you are smart. You are smart.
Yes. But then the explanation is what actually makes it so much better with the salad. And he's like, no, not my salad. And then the salt and the pepper and then the grape juice on top. And he's like, this is Ragnarok. I loved that Mark Ruffalo actually tweeted out that this was Ragnarok. It made my day to see that.
Loki loves himself some metaphors and analogies, and I appreciate it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this is memeable for a while.
I haven't seen
anything but the Mark Ruffalo concept, so I loved it so much. And then him just like the salt and pepper and really getting into it. But yeah, no, the genius is there. He's a mad genius, but the genius is there, which is really, really awesome. Yeah. And then we get this, like, you know, very funny, funny moment. I died laughing. You've literally stabbed people in the back like 50 times. I've read all your files.
Well, I'll never do it again because it got boring.
Got old.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. No, he would.
He's such a classic liar, because there's like even like he even has like an expression and like a voice tone that he slips into when he knows that he's being accused of something, but he desperately wants to be right.
His voice like gets all like high and squeaky.
I would never do it again. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Pompeii. Do you know what Pompeii is? Other than from this show? It's okay if you don't.
I only know the Bastille song.
You only know the Bastille song. Well, it's basically...
It's because it like came that. Out during the time I was like... 9,
yeah,
5.
Yeah, getting into music. Yeah,
5
yeah.
and 9.
I mean, Bastille is kind of the idea that the Lokis were all about. And maybe somebody in the writing room was listening to the Bastille song and they're like, yeah!
No one would. Are you trying to validate my lack of knowledge?
Yes. Because I'm your mother. Okay.
Wow. I can't believe you're lying to me.
I love this scene so much. He's chaotic. He's funny. He's the scene is just, can you make a sound of a bird? Like a whooshing noise.
Also, Mobius is terrified of the TVA getting mad at him or him causing some kind of variance. It comes up later with his jet skiing. He just doesn't want to upset anyone, even at the cost of his own enjoyment.
Okay, so
this is why Loki and Mobius is the best duo.
Yes. Let me walk you through just briefly my craziness. Okay. So Loki goes and lets the goats out, which all have horns like his horns, right? And he's like, you know, be free, my horned brothers. Okay. What if part of this ends up being that, like, Loki's trying to save all of the Lokis so that chaos and freedom can, you know, fight against all of this order of the TVA? It's just so interesting. I did not know that Tom actually knew Latin in real life. Holy hell, that was wonderful. He sounded great. I just think that there's something like foreshadowing or paralleled in this moment. Because like all of these caged Lokis are like all of the different aspects of Loki. And any Loki would want... maybe not more Lokis, but at least more freedom associated with what is happening inside of the universe and inside of reality right now.
Dude, they sped run character development so that they could have Loki just be soft the whole time.
I think so, yeah. All right, quick intermission. Let's rank Loki's hair.
All right. So as we all know, I am a Loki hair connoisseur. And
we did know that.
You did.
I knew it, but
and
you
they
know.
Did, and they knew it too because I brought it up in the last time.
Okay, I believe you.
So first episode, Loki hair, awful. It's a 2 out of 10. I just no, get it off my screen. It looks like he's got string cheese on his head. And this, okay, particularly after he does the magic transition.
And he's like, he's like blow dried, and it's like he's gotten a summer blowout, which, you know, not everybody will know what that is, but he's gotten a summer blowout, and
in the grocery store, he's looking like much better. Like that is a 6.5 out of 10. It's beautiful. Keep it like that the whole time, because we're not going to get long hair Loki. And if we do get long hair Loki, I will talk about it.
Yes. We might have to add in the variant into this next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll continue this. I like this ranking of
Loki hair.
Of Loki hair. It's important. Yeah. Okay, so this is also the slide that Robin asked me to put in. So would you like to speak to it?
It's the best slide. So I like Mobius development, because Mobius is a cool guy, and he's, I have notes.
Yes, you do have notes. Yes. Okay. Talk about Mobius.
So Mobius, great guy. Renslayer mentions that he likes broken things. Does that have something to do with, like, I don't know who he is? Maybe is there a backstory there? I'm so curious. Tell me more. Mobius thinks he knows things about people. He doesn't. He's terrified of the TVA. Questionable business practices. Why are your employers scared of you? Employees scared of you. Why? And Mobius X Jetski is the best pairing. Fight me.
Okay, I'm going to pose a different ship from this same episode. Loki and Miss Minutes.
Miss Minutes might be, according to some theories, Miss Minutes could be, like, other Loki, variant Loki, so...
Like Lady Loki? I don't know. I think Miss Minutes is just their own thing, her own thing, and I ship her and Loki.
Loki until proven otherwise.
I mean, they fought, right?
This is... Okay, can you go full screen for this slide? Just because yes. People need to look at it.
Okay.
Episode 2 is the hair is the superior fit.
It is, yes.
Best... freaking slide, because I asked for it, and it is exactly what I wanted.
You wanted a jet ski, and...
My first thought was, if he's so terrified of upsetting the TVA, why doesn't he just go jet skiing right before a tsunami?
Okay, so this is what they call a Chekhov's gun. We must see Owen Wilson as Mobius on a jet ski before the end of the season, or I will be severely disappointed.
No, you'll be severely disappointed, but I will be even more disappointed.
Yes, you will be broken, inconsolable. This man
needs his jet skis.
He just wants to be on a jet ski. Let the man be on a jet ski. I hope Loki makes that happen for him and self-actualizes Mobius that there are things beyond work. It's a bad message that the only thing that exists is work.
Buddy cop show.
Let's get this man on a jet ski.
Get him on a jet ski. And let's cause a little chaos while we do it.
Yes. Okay. God, this show. I'm just lucky that the chaos that I was brought into, you know, was good. But existence is chaos, and there's this back and forth with free will versus non-free will. And then, aha, Loki realizes that only the people who exist within the TVA, or at least them in that moment even potentially, really truthfully have free will.
And but they're so not even free.
They're not free because there's even rules.
There's only three people, lizard people, who are in control. Yeah. The timekeepers. And this is why we need to take them down.
Are you starting? Have you joined the variant side?
I mean, she doesn't want to overthrow the...
Okay, so let's just go back to the jet ski for a moment. Perfect jet ski scene. Tell me, what do you imagine?
Okay, perfect jet ski moment. So, Loki has convinced Mobius that it's okay. Like, because there's going to be a tsunami, because that's the only real way that they can, like, do it without the timeline breaking. So they do it, And or like they or they said it so they can erase it quickly. And they get him on the jet ski, and he's just like going straight towards the tsunami as it rises up, and then it cuts.
That would be amazing.
And they and okay, they're can walking I add into to the it? TVA.
Can I add
just
to
like
it?
So sopping wet.
Oh, that would be amazing. Okay, can I add to it? I want Loki to be on the back of the jet ski with him because they hold two people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god, that's great.
I have to tell you the time that Kyle broke a jet ski.
We Miss Minutes too.
Yeah, Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes is on the back of the back. Yeah. They're all together.
On Loki's shoulder.
On Loki's shoulder. I ship them so hard. I'm such a weirdo. All right.
It's the two. No, it's a double date. It's a double date. Mobius and the jet ski and Loki and Miss Minutes.
Yeah. So the inevitable calm end to everything. Fatalism. It's what's for dinner. The show, like, so I struggle with existential dread in my daily life, and that's probably why I have so many hobbies, and I work really hard, and I have children.
So you can like, distract yourself.
Literally,
from
I'm distracted all the time. The inevitable heat death of the universe. And also, you know, my inevitable end and all of that and what is after this and, you know,
that's why life. You don't like talking about what you're going to give me after you die.
Thanks. I'll write you a letter. How's that?
Do I get the podcast?
Sure.
Do I get your Twitter account?
You want my Twitter account? Why?
So I can memorialize it.
Oh, okay, of course, if you must. This is a weird conversation. This is not helping with my existential dread. Neither is this show, which is bringing up a lot of weird stuff. I'm fine.
No, I've seen you sad, but that's for the people watching.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this show. Okay, cool. Laughs in existential dread. Okay. And then we have this moment where, you know, not all bad people are all bad and not all good people are good. All good, right? Okay. Every line in this show seems to be, there's a lot of lines that are just like, if you kind of think about them too long, you're like, wait a second, what is this referring to? So maybe this is referring to the variant in the TVA and like how that scene earlier on was framed as, I need a hero, and like that person was the hero of the moment, but wait, not really. So I'm really interested to see where this goes, but it definitely feels like more is going on here than meets the eye. And them having these sort of very philosophical conversations around a dinner table or around a cafeteria table seem to be pointing that out, which is really fascinating. Mm. Yeah.
Like, okay. But that moment also felt like a little bit of a slap to Mobius, where it's like, you are judging me and you're judging all of the Lokis based on the assumption that the TVA has fed to you, where everyone is guilty until proven innocent instead of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. No. And hey, maybe your bosses aren't all good. Maybe this variant, maybe Lokis aren't all bad. Maybe they're just trying to create a little bit more free will.
Questionable ethics, questionable business practices. Why are your employees scared of you?
Are you going to call the Better Business Bureau on them? Yeah. Okay. This whole thing about the future being terrible, the swallows dying, climate disaster, earthquakes, cyclones.
We're here to watch Loki, not be sad.
Too real. Thanks. Yeah. A lot of the Marvel stuff has felt too real, like WandaVision out during the pandemic.
One of my friends literally like would text me during when they were watching WandaVision, and they would just go, I have never related to a character this hard ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. It only gets worse. I haven't seen the finale of WandaVision, by the way. No spoilers.
You still need to see it. I thought you had. Do you just not want it to end?
No.
Oh.
My love for sitcoms shall never end.
Fair. You are the biggest sitcom fan. So they find out, okay, they're hiding in, with the use of the kablooey, they're hiding out in the Roxcart.
Roxcart.
Roxcart big box store, which it looks like it's going to be a subsidiary of Roxxon Energy Corporation, which is been used in Iron Man and in many of the shows. Like, I think Daredevil used it a little bit. Iron Fist used it. Sometimes there's just like trucks, and if they need something, so they've decided to expand Roxxon Corporation, which is a typical evil oil and gas company. You know, that's where they come from. There to be an evil Amazon or Walmart, additionally to the oil and gas aspects. Yay!
Or maybe they just shifted focus.
They purchased Walmart and turned it more evil. I don't know.
Walmart was evil to begin with?
Yes.
Oh.
You don't become a large corporation that makes that much money without doing it on the backs of somebody.
Mm.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Capitalism. It's what's for dinner. I'm just kidding.
Please stop with that joke.
Yeah. Okay, I will. I love this moment where he's wet and then he's dry. And everyone's like, wait a second. Yeah, no.
I was like, you know what? I actually kind of want to draw that, but I'm not going to. But I want to, but I don't.
You should draw it. You should do a little chibi version of him.
I'll draw chibi Lokis, and then you can sprinkle them in the slideshows.
Sure, I will. If you make them for me, I will put them in. Okay, good. And then we approach a man shopping during the hurricane sale, which it feels like super duper late stage capitalism situations. There's so many hurricanes that they have hurricane sales because they know people will be crazy enough to buy stuff during hurricanes. That's a thing, I guess. I did love his comment, which was, I'd probably be wearing a suit, which was so funny because, like, whenever he's around and pretending to be immortal.
Oh gosh, I just remembered in Ragnarok when he's with Thor. Thor is like looking like he's gonna go to the bar, and Loki looks like he's going to a funeral in his black on black attire.
And in Thor number one, he also wears like a really nice suit and like a jacket too.
They're like the two of them just radiate such like opposite energy. And, like, someone would go up on, and the fangirls come up to Thor on the street.
Yeah.
So that's actually one of my favorite scenes. I have really, like, good fan art from someone on my iPad of it.
Apparently, hurricane sales are a thing. Thanks, Florida. We live in Canada, and no
America,
hurricanes.
What's that? Couldn't be me.
No, we might get tornadoes here. I've never had a tornado sale, though.
How would you have a sale during a tornado?
I don't know.
Unless you have really...
I really love the moment when Loki smiles. Well, the possessed person smiles. And then Loki smiles back. And they smile in the same way. They must have practiced that. That looks awesome. And just generally, the variant chats. I wonder how much they worked on it to give all of the possessed people certain mannerisms, because they all kind of sounded a particular level of self-assurance and mocking and things like that. So
they were a part of the seminar.
They were part of the seminar, yes, the Tom Hiddleston seminar. And of course, then we get the callback moment, which is, yes, this variant loves to stall for time. And thank you for helping me stall for time.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me attempt to leave this show on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, solid writing.
Suddenly we just end the stream because cliffhangers.
Cliffhangers? No, we're not going to walk through a time
door.
We're
not cruel.
All right, and then we get the variant reveal, which, you know, right off the bat, dressed exactly like Loki, full costume, et cetera.
Loki's horn
with one of them broken, really interesting. Blonde hair, looks like Loki's length, but blonde. Okay, interesting. But we've seen a ton of variations in Loki's appearance. He's gone from Frost Giant to, you know, being like a Hulk-like Thor, or Hulk-like Loki. Lots of interesting things going on in this moment. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the reveal?
I was just like,
what?
Okay.
Yeah. This is my hope. I think we talked about it in the pre-show. I was hoping there would be Lady Loki. It would be a confrontation, you know, with his feminine side and figuring that stuff out and like different desires and all of that.
You and your theorism. Theorism, that's not a word.
That's not a word.
That's not a word.
That's not a word.
You and your theorist brain. I don't like it.
But I love the moment when the variant presses the button and then suddenly all of the, you know, reset charges go through the time doors that has been set up just for those things. That moment was beautifully executed. And then we have the reflection in the TVA where the time stream is going bananas and branching off in all sorts of different directions, and they're freaking out about it, which was awesome.
Broken horn. Mobius likes to fix broken things.
Exactly.
Well, he likes broken things.
He likes to, you know, help broken things, I think.
Or believe in broken things.
Yeah. So there's going to be general chaos probably next episode, which is so awesome.
If it's not called General Chaos.
General Chaos? Sitcoms? Yep, and then we get the, you know, dramatic, I'm leaving, no words, haha, I don't need you.
It's not about you. I don't care about you. I'm here to do my own thing. You got here second, and you are the less superior Loki.
You're the lesser Loki, haha, bye.
Bye.
And then, you know, we get the dramatic, like, no, Loki, don't go down the dark path. No, Anakin.
Don't go to the dark side.
Don't go to the dark side. Loki runs through the door. Yeah.
We don't know. It was a cliffhanger, guys. It was a cliffhanger. He might not be a bad guy.
Yeah, no. I'm sure it's going to be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah. Okay. So just some kind of additional episode thoughts. Okay. Off to the side of the variant, when the variant is revealed, we have all of these screens that are fuzzy and broken or like, you know, hey, no signal. I absolutely got WandaVision feels. And I just like, I was like, oh, WandaVision. WandaVision made a reference to Loki. And
now they're doing it in return. It's like it's the Marvel relationship.
Yeah.
Magic users acknowledge magic users, and then they don't acknowledge Bucky and Sam.
Yeah. Well, Bucky and Sam were supposed to be first. WandaVision was supposed to be second, and then Loki was going to be third. But there was some production stuff due to COVID that happened, and so WandaVision ended up coming out first.
It's fine.
Yep, I know.
I actually like it in the middle because it divides the magic using stuff, like, nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. But you and I, we talked about this after the episode. We're here for this relationship. We love the buddy cop situation. You're like, you were upset a little bit because you're like, no, I'm not going to get Mobius and Loki together. No.
Mobius will track him down. It's fine. It's fine. It'll be okay.
You'll be okay. Or you're not inconsolable yet.
I'm like dramatizing my interior sadness.
Yes.
Because I cannot cry.
And then, you know, we really got this interesting moment where it's like, well, I'm not interested in ruling the TVA, which is in Loki's mind the biggest power in the universe.
Because he hasn't figured out his role yet, so he's clinging to what he knows.
I know. He hasn't figured out his purpose, and that's like a big theme of this show, right?
His glorious purpose. His glorious purpose. Get it right.
Yeah, glorious purpose. And so what does the variant want? What do you think the variant wants?
Chaos. Exclusive.
I actually think that the variant wants freedom from the TVA.
That and chaos.
I mean, one will produce more chaos, right? The galaxy is chaos, and there's sort of a beauty in that. Reality is chaos.
The TVA is gross. Let me have my free will.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we just, like, let a tree be the tree? Can we not prune it? Oh god, I'm gonna get so into the questionableness of the TVA. You're not ready for it.
Well, you can go into it now if you want to. I don't have a slide for you, so.
Oh, that's sad. Okay. Oh,
yeah, no slide. Okay, what's the TVA? What's the problem with the TVA? Rant time.
All right.
Become your father's daughter. for officially on the stream.
Okay. So just the TVA in general, kind of sus. Loki brings up that they have a ton of like TVA propaganda everywhere, and it's a little bit brainwashy, a little bit believe in this because we're shoving it down your throat.
Right.
Believe, believe, believe. And Miss Minutes, even as like a thing, is just there to tell you we're the time variant authorities and we're here to help you, but not help you because we're going to kill you if you don't cooperate.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally, he's going to die if he doesn't cooperate. He gets threatened with death throughout the episode.
It is so frustrating because it's like,
what if Miss Minutes is in charge?
Also capitalism, because the TVA, without being tied to humans and without like that, like super like, because it's not, it isn't on Earth. It's just like,
it's everywhere.
A thing. Yeah. The TVA kind of functions like a business a little bit. It has offices. It has, you need to check out things. You need to talk to the right personnel. And it has business, like, it has CEOs. It has, the timekeepers are the top, very, very top, and they control
everything. Does anyone get time off? Are there shifts? Does anyone need to sleep?
And also, like, it really, really feels like they raised a bunch of people to have, like, no interest in no life, to be their, like, indentured servitude people.
Ugh. Yep. Yep.
And it's really, really not, like, super awesome because, you know, Mobius is terrified that he's gonna cause some bad stuff because he wants to go on a jet ski.
I have a different question for you. So, in the TVA, we've only seen human creatures. Yeah, yeah. Do they only appear that way because Loki appears to be a humanoid?
Well, I mean, that is debatable.
Because they brought in Skrulls, right?
Yeah. I think, well, obviously there's different kinds of...
Like, that's what I would do if I was the TVA. I would appear whatever, you know.
The person is appearing, yeah. The Skrull just must see a bunch of Skrulls.
Oh, Luminous Lily, I think they stole children from erased timelines. Yes. That makes sense.
That makes so much sense.
So good.
Thank
Very stormtroopery. Yeah. Evil Empire.
I think I actually brought that up in the
Oh, you were thinking they were going to steal that one kid, right? Like, from the last episode?
No. I was thinking that last episode, I think I brought up that it really does feel like the clones, in which they just made a bunch of people and raised them to do one particular thing.
I mean, it's same vibe, right?
Like, it really explains away why Casey doesn't know what a fish is. Because you only have the materials that they give you, and you only have what you...
Yeah. No, they're definitely created, like, either in the time, or they're stolen from somewhere, but they're there with the purpose. We haven't seen anybody take a break.
They totally feed them that kind of, like, you have all of the free will you want kind of stuff. And then when it's like, can I do this? They're like, no.
Yeah.
Questionable.
I talked about this a little bit earlier, but, Loki lied in those first, like, scenes on the Ren Faire. Except he was totally right, because... C-20 had given away the information about what's happening with the timekeepers. And so the timekeepers, or at least the TVA, the variant has enough information to hurt them. So that's the important part.
I'm also not done.
Oh, there's more.
I forgot. So they have a brand. They have branding, which even pushes the capitalism. They have branding. They use. So they actually call the teams of people Minutemen.
Yes.
And they use words like prune and like, we're gonna make this perfect. It's going to be perfect. When they know that it's not going to be perfect because that's not how that works. But they use like a specific set of like words that have good associations in their employees' minds so that they don't like.
Yeah. Either their mind wiped. So they don't have memories of their past, or they're created there. They never really started out as children, probably. So either they were created at that size or whatever. Like, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. It definitely seems like there's a hierarchy to things. You know, analysts are different than hunters. The judges have a different role.
The 1970s ties makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Susan. Yeah. Oh, that's weird. Because the TVA exists beyond time, but there's so much human there.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do you do this, TVA? Why are you questionable ethics?
I hope we have a reason to it, and it's not just aesthetic. Although, aesthetic. If it's just aesthetic, it looks cool too.
I like that business aesthetic.
Yeah, that retro, like futuristic
floppy disks
thing.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, let's just talk about the variant. Lady Loki, I mean, that's kind of who they're presenting inside of the show. A lot of people pointed out that the variant is using sort of green magic on her hands. And so, you know, that ties closer to Enchantress, who is Sylvie.
You have a slide for this, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, it is kind of like, was this a mistake? Was this just something? I think that there's enough to say, without even the mistake, this is probably going to turn out to be Enchantress in one of the storylines in Marvel. Enchantress is created by Loki as kind of a joke. And so she has his magical signature and his magic and is kind of like a version of him. And actually, when he gets sick and dies in that storyline, she loses her magic until she's fixed. And she's blonde, which ties closer to the variant that we see.
Shapeshifter, though, so we can't really, any physical evidence we can't really be reliant on because shapeshifter.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw all sorts of different versions of Loki also, looking different ways.
If you've seen the episode one time, go back and watch it and watch as they refer to the variant with he, him pronouns exclusively. It's really weird and trippy because you're going to pay attention to it more.
Yeah, yeah. I was preferring the concept of Lady Loki. I really was, like, I really wanted that to happen. Yeah, yeah. I do think, though, that it's probably going to turn out to be Enchantress and there might be another Loki, Lady Loki even, potentially. Because Lady Loki did create an Enchantress in one of the storylines, too, and that
Lady
would be really
Loki
cool.
Could literally be, like, henchman vibes. Like, we'd have Enchantress be Lady Loki's henchman.
Yeah, yeah. That would be cool. I really wanted to see Lady Loki in this show.
But we
might be introduced to a new Loki every single episode, which would be really cool, too. And, you know, a creation of Loki is still kind of Loki. So I like it. People have said that on the file, it does say Sylvie. In the credits, they call her Sylvie in one of the translated versions of the credits. It's a dialect of Spanish that they accidentally still had Sylvie in there, but it could be. Lady Loki is another name. She just didn't want to call herself Loki. Doesn't like that name.
They did bring up that she doesn't like that name anymore.
I would like to see a bunch of Lokis all working together.
Oh my god, like Rick and Morty, the Association of Ricks.
Yes.
Like the Council of
okay,
Ricks.
Okay, so.
Oh, that's so cool.
Head writer worked on Rick and Morty. Yeah, so.
The more you know.
The more you know, right? So, yeah. That's all our slides. That's everything. This Damn. Episode was dope. So good.
Lots of slideage. And hey, I had something to talk about, so.
Yeah, it was great. Good job. I'm really enjoying the show. I don't care where it takes me. I'm just really into this ride, but it definitely is talking about the same things that even Agents of
also,
Asgard.
Can we talk about the camera work?
Oh, sure.
Because it was so cool. Like, there was this one shot where they were, like, panning around the group huddle. It was such a nice scene. And they were focusing on Loki and Mobius and, the leader of the TVA group that we...
Oh, yeah.
That we follow around.
Hunter B-15?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because they're doing this, like, panning thing and you go behind all of the people. I like it. The camera work with this was cool. The camera work in Loki has been good thus far, and I'm excited to see what they do for, like, cool camera tricks.
Kate Herron, excellent direction. There's lots of really cool moments. The close up on Tom's face when he was crying was really wonderful. So yeah, shout out to all of that.
They made a close up on someone's face not look uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. This show is just phenomenal. They're
if you haven't seen
it out of the park.
Watch it.
What?
If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Why would they be watching this without watching that?
Well, I've invited people who haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so. Okay. So
watch
yeah.
It.
Make sure to watch the show. It's
or
great.
If you can't. You
know, it's going to be great. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And more importantly, check out Loki next week and then come back to us next Thursday.
Thursday.
And join our different variants. My hair probably will not change that much next week because I just had it done. So it's now, I guess I'm like
a green wig.
Twilight Sparkle variant.
Hey, that's great with that's great with the Tara Strong.
Yeah, with Tara Strong being Miss Minutes. Yeah.
The connections. I'm making the connections.
Yes. So thank you to everyone who came out into the chat. And if you're listening to this after the fact on the stream or on YouTube or on the podcast, hi. Make sure that you like, subscribe so you can keep up with all of these shows that we're doing.
Oh, and yeah. Tell my mom that you think I'm awesome on Twitter because I am awesome. I'm going to do this every time because I need validation and you should give it to me.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you. You are awesome for joining me. You took very good notes and I'm very proud of you.
All right. I'm the only one who gets to do it.
All right. Thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure to like and subscribe. It just helps people get the show as well as keep up with all of the episodes and when we're going to be going live. We will be back next week with the third episode. So thank you.
The third episode on Thursday. So.
On Thursday. Yes. So
with High Tea Loki.
High Tea Loki. We will see you next time. Cheers.
Maybe.